This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Kyle Quinn back in the studio because today we are at Sterling Limousine and Transportation Services. They were the winning bid for the Eagles Radiothon benefiting the Eagles Autism Foundation. We're excited to be here and thank them for having us. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, no, if you get a chance, Just take some time and take a ride. Let somebody else drive for you and just ride around the city, man. I got a chance to ride in one of the limos this morning. It was nice. It was a Cadillac. What's the big one of the big ones? The big SUV.
Luxury, Douglas.
Yeah,
over
it here. It had the captain's chairs and everything, man. And we were riding up 95, right? And I didn't know there was like an oil refinery like right off the side of the highway. And I was like, damn. It was just weird to ride through the city and notice things that you really don't get a chance to notice because
sure.
You're so busy trying to drive. So if you get the chance, man, just sit back and ride and just look around.
I think we're getting relaxed here today because you didn't deal with any traffic this morning.
Nah.
No traffic backing you up there. So, no, we're excited to be here. We thank them for having us. This is up by my neck of the woods. So a short drive for me this morning. And here we got a lot to talk about today. Tomorrow is opening day of the baseball season, the Phillies and the Nationals. Elliot will join us later in the show. We'll get to a daily mock at 1 o'clock, and we have a great prize for you. But, Hugh, you know, I feel like every conversation that we've had about the Phillies the last 2 to 3 weeks, we really revved it up here for the start of the season, there's been like an elephant in the room, right? Mm-hmm. There's this thing that we're all – it's in the back of all of our minds. It's the conversation underneath the conversation, whether or not you're bullish on this team, either they're going to win the World Series or you're a little concerned off of the way last year ended and the chase and all that kind of stuff. Hugh, everything we talk about with the lineup, with the team, with the expectations, it's all really a conversation about one guy. But on this show, we haven't had our conversation yet in the last few weeks about this guy. Hugh, you know who I'm talking about, right?
Trey.
It's Trey. It's about Trey Turner. It all comes back to Trey Turner. When the Phillies signed him a few years ago, he was supposed to be the missing piece, right? They went to the World Series of 2022. They were the best team in the NL in the playoffs that year, and they were this close to winning the World Series. And, Hugh, they did not. They didn't get there again with Trey Turner. In fact, they've gone backwards the last couple of years. He's been up. He's been down. When he's hot, he is as good as any hitter in baseball. When
yes.
he is as cold, he's terrible. And we've seen both extremes in the first 2 years of his Phillies career. Plus, you have the whole defensive issues where he's not been a very good shortstop, 40 errors since he got here. But now we enter this season, and he's got to be good. And the question I think that really is on everyone's mind, and it's certainly on mine, is you expect a different Trey Turner this season with the extra work at shortstop And Hugh, obviously, they're trying to jumpstart him. That's what this leadoff thing's all about. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get the Trey that they signed to be that guy this year. Hugh Douglas, we're one day away from the season. I heard the camera say it this morning, and he's right on this. Turner is the X factor. Do you expect a different Trey Turner this season?
Yes, I do. I do for a number of reasons. We had a chance to talk to Trey when he first got here, Joe. And this is a guy who trains really hard. There's a guy that's really focused on his technique and everything that he did before he got here, because we had a chance to ask him about how he trains and things of that nature. He knows he hasn't been what we've expected him to be since he's been here. I mean, he has to feel that. You know, there's been a lot of questions, whether it's direct or around the fringes, asked about his defense and his hitting and his chase rate and all that other good stuff, Joe. He has to feel the pressure. He even has to feel the pressure from his teammates. It's one of those things, like, you know, sometimes when you go to work, like, for example, when I knew I was about to get fired from the Jacksonville Jaguars, nobody had to tell me. I felt that. I felt that because of two things: the way that I played and just the overall feeling when you walk into a room. It's almost like when you walk into a room and you know that you've been talked about. You don't know what's been said.
It's that it hovers in the air.
Yes, you don't know what's been said. But you know your name has come up in conversation, and 9 times out of 10, it's not really that good. And I think that with the money that he's made and he's about to make, that people are having that conversation, and they're trying to say it in the nicest way possible. Hey, man, you got to get it going.
Yeah.
So he has to feel that. He knows that they expected him to be the leadoff when he got here. You told a story the other day when he first got here, he's the leadoff, and he's the leadoff for like 2 weeks. Then they stopped that. If he is the leadoff that we need him to be, it makes it a lot easier for everybody else in the team. It makes the team a lot better, in my opinion.
Well, it would, and there's no question about that. 215-592-9494. All right, here's where I'm at, and I think most people out there know how I've felt about Trey Turner since he got here. I just don't think he's worth the money they paid him, and I don't think he's a great player. But he also shouldn't be a bad player. He should be an asset. He should be a really good player. As you've pointed out, he didn't make the All-Star team last year.
Yeah, he did.
Like, there's still something left. And I know we talk about him as his best days are probably past him. That's probably when he was in his 20s, in his late 20s with the, you know, Nationals and Dodgers. But he's also not 37, Hugh. He's 31. Like, he should still have some good years left in him. But here's where I'm at. I'm not expecting it. If he proves me wrong, I would love to sit here and have people call in and say, you doubted Trey Turner and he's back as an MVP candidate. I'm just not holding my breath. I don't expect it. Now, do I hope that the move to leadoff could get him to lock in and take some more pitches and see the ball coming out of the pitcher's hand better, and maybe he's less aggressive? I hope. But I do question, Hugh, and you live this life, and I never did, but I watch it. I question if an old dog can learn new tricks, right? I don't think he doesn't work hard. We watched him at spring training. We talked to him. I read all these articles coming out that he's working his butt off. I think Trey Turner works hard. I never thought it was a lack of effort from him. I just wonder if all the years of it being ingrained in, he's an aggressive hitter and he is an instinctual player on defense. I don't think he uses his mind as much as his athleticism on defense. I think he gets in trouble sometimes. I just can't expect it. I've watched him play for 2 years here. He's been up, he's been down. It's kind of who he is at this point. And defensively, I don't even think he's a shortstop anymore, but they're going to keep rolling him out there and hope for the best. He has 40 errors the last two seasons. I don't expect it. I hope he'll be better. I hope we get the best version of him. I can't expect it anymore. 215-592-9494. It is interesting, though, when we go to shortstops in Philadelphia, there's two that we talk about, right? It's Larry Bowa back in the day, and then, of course, it was Jimmy Rollins. Their opinions carry a lot of weight, as they should. They were great. They're great players, but certainly they were both great defensive players at the shortstop position. And we know J-Roll was a tremendous all-around player and an MVP at one point. Let's listen to J-Roll with John Clark talking about the leadoff spot and why he wants it to be Trey Turner. Maybe it ignites him this season. Here's Jimmy Rollins.
Who do you want to see leadoff?
That is a great question. If it was me, you know, I like the traditional lineup of having the speed up top and not blocking it down in the middle. And I think Trey did a good job there, you know, throughout his whole career. He's bounced 1, 2, and 3. I would like to see him lead off, get him a chance to get on base, run the bases, put pressure on for the big boys when Bryce gets up there and Schwarb hitting those bombs. That's what I would like, but I don't make those decisions. That's above my pay grade.
So it is above J-Roll's pay grade, but his opinion counts. And Hugh, it does sound like starting tomorrow, because they'll face a lefty, we're going to see a good amount of Trey at the leadoff spot. Mm-hmm. So one of the questions really is, do you think that's going to make a difference, right? It's the same guy, same player, same person, but it seems like the Phillies think moving him up from 2-1 could get him to be a better version of himself.
Yeah, and you get that. If he's that guy that can get on base and you get Schwarber behind him and Bryce, you know, then now you're cooking with gas. And I think the biggest thing that they're trying to do with him, if I may be allowed to say this, is just get on base. Just get on base.
Keep it simple.
Keep it real simple, because we've seen times, and there's been times since he's been here where, you know, he's up there and he's, I guess for lack of a better way of saying, hacking.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Hacking.
And the ball's 3 feet outside.
No, and I think that it's – the pressure's different, because I think at the leadoff spot, the pressure's more on making contact and getting on base. Same kind of like what we wanted Rojas to do last year. Hey, man, just make contact. Somebody's on base, make contact. Get on base. And that should, I would imagine, that should be simple for him. For as long as he's been playing, it gives him a chance to utilize his speed. And we know what Schwarber brings to the table. We know what he does. And somebody, one of the callers said it yesterday or the other day. He said, you know, it's great to have a single home run, but it would be nice to have that with guys on base. So that's what you want. That's what they're trying to get. They're trying to change things. And if that happens, Joe, I think that goes a long way to being and keeping the bats from going cold.
Well, it could. And it really could be something that pushes the Phillies from good to great. I mean, they were a good team before Trey Turner got here. They were in the World Series. And the expectation was they'd become a great team, get over the hump with Trey Turner. That hasn't happened yet. 215-592-9494. Now, another part of the equation here is who, when they signed Trey Turner, and throughout his career, he has been a tremendous athlete, a runner, one of the best stolen base guys in baseball. But he hasn't run that much since he got here. In fact, last year, he barely ran at all. There's a lot of thought that putting him in the leadoff spot will free him up to run. Let's hear Jimmy Rollins on that, the idea of if he's hitting atop the lineup, maybe we'll get the full version of Trey Turner.
Schwarber is a good hitter. He's patient at the plate. But when he's on base in front of Trey, that kind of slows Trey down, you know, for obvious reasons. And why not turn those home runs to 2 and 3 run home runs? And I know they say you lead off once a game, but it does change the way a pitcher and the other team sets up how they face the lineup. When you have speed at the top and power throughout, it's different than having power in the beginning, which they have power all throughout. But yes, there's an attack plan from the first batter, but I still like it setting up that a guy that can hit a ball in the gap, you're still going to get more hits than home runs. Hit the ball in the gap, Trey scores. Trey hits the ball in the gap, Schwarber's not scoring, and that's what I like.
So, look, I conceptually it makes sense, like a fast guy at the top, Hugh, that's been baseball for 100 years.
Yeah.
Right? You want the guy to – I wonder, as he ages, is that why he's not running as much? Because I'm looking at his stolen base attempts, Trey Turner, since he got to the big leagues. Ready? Back in the day, it was 54 times he attempted a stolen base. 52, mm-hmm. 40, 37, 30. 30, 23. I mean, it's steadily declining how often he attempts to run. Is that because Schwarber was ahead of him in the lineup, or is he just getting older and he doesn't want to push it as much? I don't know the answer.
Wasn't he kind of hurt? He had a little tweakage.
Last year he had the hamstring issue,
yeah.
Which that may have contributed, but it was declining before that, right? He used to run 50-plus times a year, and then the last 2 years before last year, it dropped to 30. So Like, there's some people that I think anticipate he's going to steal 40 bases hitting leadoff. I don't know if he's going to run that much.
I thought he was going to steal 50 when we got here. I remember having that conversation.
I know.
I look at it more like this, Joe. And I think it was more of him just trying to find his comfort level and trying to focus on other aspects of his game that were lacking. So with that, it kind of hindered the running game because he was too busy. You know, you talked about a lot how his errors at shortstop really hurt him a lot, and his defense hurt him a lot. So it feels more to me because he still has speed. We've seen the speed.
Yes.
So I don't think that's an issue. I think more than anything, probably was in his head, and he was more trying to just stay focused on the fundamental parts of his game, and that kind of lacked a little bit. But I would think that, just like J-Roll said, J-Roll's, as a matter of fact, when J-Roll was playing here, I used to pick J-Roll's brain a lot about baseball. So I hear everything that he is saying, he was echoing the same thing to me back in the day when he was playing. And J-Roll, you know, J-Roll could roll. He had those wheels. So I think that with him at the top of the order, the mentality and the mindset changes because you are that guy that they're expecting to put pressure on the pitcher.
Man, you know, as you brought up J-Roll, well, we played the cuts there. The more that we're past the J-Roll era, I miss watching him.
Man, play. Listen, he can roll.
I appreciate that. So he was always a tremendous player. I appreciate him when he played. But Hugh, he hit and he played defense. Yeah. He was a great defensive shortstop.
I remember some of the stories he would tell me about the different nuances at playing shortstop and how much stuff is, even though you don't know it, but so much stuff was going on where he was playing, and he had to see, like, the little signs.
Smart
player. Yeah, man. And I was just sitting there, and it was almost like he was teaching me a master class in baseball. And I was just sitting there soaking it up. Tremendous amount of respect for J-Roll, man.
215-592-9494. Do you expect a different Trey Turner this season? It is clearly the X factor for this Phillies team, what they're getting out of Trey, what kind of player he is. Can he be great again? We've seen flashes. I mean, after the ovation in 23, he got red hot. Last year, first half, he was red hot, but everything else has been a lot of down. Poor shortstop play, hasn't run as much. Look, I'm not expecting it. I hope, like everybody else, that he's the Trey Turner they signed, and I would love to say I was wrong, and I doubted a player that still had greatness left in him. I don't expect it. Hugh does. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. Kyle back in the studio as we get ready for opening day tomorrow. Do you expect a different Trey this season?
I'm where you're at in that. I hope, obviously, but I don't expect it. I think Trey just is what he is at this point, and not an awful player. Sometimes I think we go a little bit too far with how people talk about Trey. Like, he doesn't suck. He's just not what we paid for, and he's not what we need him to be at this point. Like, he is what he is defensively, right? That's a below average, at best, shortstop. But I think we've seen the best of him in his career as a hitter and as a Phillies hitter. Like, they can push the leadoff button with him all they want. I'm just going to have to believe it when I see it. I just see a declining player offensively in Trey Turner. So, I don't know. As you can tell, I'm clearly brimming with confidence with Trey Turner this year.
I can feel it. It's oozing through the radio.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't go into the season and lie to everybody and say that I expect to see a new version of Trey Turner. I'm not there.
215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here. Do you expect a different Trey? The Phillies are at least hoping for one, and they're pushing for one, because I think this offseason has been the most outwardly like, hey, we got to push this guy. Extra work in spring training, talking up Aiden Miller as a future shortstop. They're not messing around, that if this doesn't work, you know, they're going to have to make changes here at some point. Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Chris.
Happy hump Phillies Eve Day.
Man. That it is. Oh, Chris, what's up? We're one day away from baseball being back.
One day. We are one day from the season openers. And here we go, Hugh. Plant Joe is on duty. I have to hear this right out the gate. You know what? Here's what we need from Trey Turner, PJ. You ready? Mm-hmm. We need Trey to just be good. We need him not to be great. We just need him to be good, all right?
So this is lower the bar, Chris. Yeah, I'll be plant-based Joe, and you're lower the bar, Chris. Well, just be good. They paid him $300 million.
It's my turn. As OG says, I got the mic right now, all right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Have him play a solid defensive shortstop. A healthy hitting Trey is a 300-plus hitter that can easily steal 35 bases. And I said 35 because I want to put an easy low bar. Yes, I expect him to have 45 to 50. And, Joe, I do realize those will be career highs. But I expect that out of him. He is a career 296 hitter with a 348 on base percentage, which are realistic numbers that we can see again, Joe, because he was just doing it other than when 2023 hit and he came here, went to that spiral. So it's not far-fetched to say, oh, he's on the decline and he can't do it again. No, he can do it again. He is actually trending back. If you look at the numbers, because I know you're a numbers guy, mm-hmm. he struck out 150 times in 2023 with a 320 on-base percentage. Last year, he came back. He struck out 98 times. That is a third less the previous year. And his on-base percentage went up 18 points. It was a 338, which is getting closer to that 348, 350 number we want to see, which is what you want to see from a leadoff guy. All of the stats are trending in the right way. I think if he didn't have the hamstring injury, we would have saw a little better offensive numbers, and those other numbers would have been back. I think Trey is fine. It's haters like you, PJ, that want to take your, because you got your agenda. You got your agenda. You want to break that wand back out and say, CO is right. We've got to wand him, you know.
Listen, I hear a lot of people using the magic wand thing. Not me. That's become a thing I hear all the time now.
Yeah, listen, and you're just mad because you're mad that you can't cook bacon on the air and get away with it. Okay.
Well, I think most people are mad they can't cook bacon at work and get away with it like you.
See you tomorrow, fellas.
You got it, Chris.
We appreciate it. Yeah, he did. He was ready. Yeah, he was coming at me, but then he threw that right back at you.
Oh, yeah, we both take those kind of shots
like
that.
That's all right. Now, listen, I want to be wrong on this. I want Trey Turner to play great. And as far as him trending back up last year, you could say that. I mean, yes, his on-base percentage went up. He did strike out less. Those were certainly better than
– And he went to the All-Star.
He did. Well, your favorite thing.
I mean, but they don't – everybody's not an All-Star.
No,
I mean, it's a fact.
I know, but he happened to have a good first half and a bad second half. If he reversed it, he wouldn't have made the All-Star team.
Yeah, I mean, he did. He started off. He just needs to be consistent. And this is why I believe in it, because as an athlete, man, you always look at the past. You look at the performance of the previous season, and you say, okay, I need to get better here. And I can't imagine with his work ethic and the way that he trains and everything that he was okay with the way that his season went.
So you know what he needs to do more than anything? He needs to find a way to get the low lows to not be as low. Because, Hugh, he still has stretches. He had it, obviously, after the ovation in 23, and he had it in the first half last year to make the All-Star team, where he looks like the old Trey Turner, or maybe I should say the young Trey Turner. He looks like that guy still for periods of time. But then when he goes in the tank, my goodness, he goes in the tank. I'm looking at his numbers last year, first half, second half. First half, he's obviously an All-Star. I mean, you've pointed out he was hitting .349 in the first half of the season. And then from then on, after the All-Star break, he was brutal. He hit .349 before the All-Star game, .247 afterwards.
But to be fair, I mean, I know he's the guy, and he's the guy that we're looking at that makes a lot of money. But a lot of guys, a bunch of guys on that team last year kind of slumped at the halfway mark during the course of the season. So, but I understand that he's the guy that you look at because of the defense and everything else. And, you know, he was the newest member of the squad. But they all came up short.
They did. They absolutely did. 215-592-9494. Kevin in Westchester's up on WIP. What's up, Kevin?
What's up, guys?
Kevin, what are you feeling this morning?
It's going to be an absolute bounce back year for Trey Turner. The kid's an absolute dog. He's going to murder it. Prior to the All-Star break, he had an OPS of 800 plus.
And then what happened?
Fell apart, but he was hurt.
But it wasn't actually. But he was hurt in the first half. He came back from the injury and then stunk.
No. Absolute bounce back year for him. Phillies are, I'm going to sound like an absolute Philly fan here. Phillies are going back to the dance. They're going back to the World Series. Bounce back year for Stott. Bryce Harper was, sixth in MVP votes. Then you got the dog Wheeler at the mound. Let's go, Phillies.
Well, Kevin, I love the optimism. And look, I'm with you on Bryce. I'm with you on Wheeler. Those guys are great players. Kevin, good phone call. And I do think Stott's going to bounce back. I mean, we had Stott on with us in spring training last week, and he talked through what he was going through with his elbow last year and the hyperextension and how he didn't want to say it was in his head, but obviously you could feel that it impacted him when he swung the bat and he didn't want to swing and miss. I think we're going to get a bounce back out of Stott. Did our last caller just call Trey Turner a kid? He's 31.
Well, to him, he's probably a kid.
Well, okay. I mean, to a lot of us, these players are kids.
He's probably a kid. Yeah,
but, I mean, sometimes with kids, with young players, they figure it out and
they give them grace.
Yeah, 31.
They get a little grace.
I mean, Trey's going to be 32 during this season. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here. Do you expect a different Trey Turner this year? It sounds like the Phillies think putting him at leadoff will help get the best version of him. I'll believe it when I see it. Hugh's believing this morning. Your call's on that. When we come back, we'll get you set up for Hughes Clues, a great prize today. And we'll hear a few things from Trey Turner from the offseason on leading off and what he took from his performance at the end of the season. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.